All right, very good. Welcome, Robert. Welcome, Lydia. Glad to have you with us today. You're going to turn in your Bible to page 212 if you're using your Pew Bible. 212 is the page. It's Deuteronomy chapter 8. And Robert's going to read to you Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10. And that'll be our jumping off point for today. So thanks, Robert. Come on up.
Deuteronomy 8, 6 through 10. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God, to walk in the ways and to fear him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and springs that flow out of the valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Blessed be his word.
Amen. All right, brothers and sisters, let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word. We pray, Lord, that the hearts and minds of your people will be open to receive what you have for us today. And Father, on behalf of our countrymen from sea to sea, we lift up our nation to you and ask indeed for your grace. And we pledge ourselves, Lord, to be found worthy of it. I pray in Jesus Christ, amen. Right, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. So yes, thanks be to the Lord God for the good land that we have. He gave it to us. Right? We do have, as it says here, we do have plenty. I trust that you do eat without scarcity and are full. As a matter of fact, I'm buttoning my coat here. I notice that I'm full. We lack nothing. Our land is a good land, right? It's well-watered, it's fruitful, it's extremely rich in resources, not to mention it is beautiful, America the Beautiful, from sea to shining sea and from north to south, a beautiful country we have. I trust that you have had the chance to do some traveling and see this beautiful land that the Lord has given to us, some very amazing things that there are to see. We are a blessed people. Don't know why the Lord should be so good to us, right? We lack nothing. I don't know what else you can say, but that's his nature, right? He delights to bless. He is good, right? The psalm says he is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. So here it is, our nation's 250th anniversary. It's fitting for us to mark a milestone of the Lord God's ongoing faithfulness. That's a long time, right? Well, it's a long time by man's reckoning. Right, by God's reckoning, it's not so long a time, right? It's one quarter of a day, right? He is from everlasting. There's a hymn that says, 1,000 ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. Okay, but for us anyway, that's many lifetimes. It's 10 generations, isn't it? And still, that's a significant chunk of the whole human timeline, isn't it? Regardless of what the future holds, the United States, without a doubt, is one of the most significant nations ever to exist on the face of the planet. Its influence on the shape of history, the path of history, and well, of course, human culture as a whole, worldwide culture, it's unmeasurable. So back when our nation was only 87 years old, and I gave you on the back of your bulletin today the Gettysburg Address. I'm not going to read it all, but I hope that you're familiar with that, and maybe this will refresh your memory with it from your school years. 87, right? 87 years ago, that's 1863. President Lincoln at that time said, as the Civil War was still raging, he said that war was a test as to whether a nation that's conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are equal could long endure. Hey, can such a nation long endure? And he's there surveying the soldiers' cemetery, the graves of the honored dead who had fallen there at Gettysburg, and urged the living of America to devote themselves anew to the cause of liberty. So that, perhaps your eyes will scan and see this phrase, so that under God, this nation should have a new birth of freedom and should not perish from the earth. Well, we've come a further 163 years since then, so I'd have to say God is merciful and faithful, because our nation has not perished from the earth, has it? In fact, it has risen to the status of the world's greatest nation. But as you know, of course, if you're a student of history or a student of the Bible, or preferably both, achieving the status of the world's foremost nation is not a guarantee that you are going to retain that status without end. Okay, all you have to read is a couple of lines out of the book of Daniel to see that mighty empires come and go. They wax and wane, right? Those matters are really not in men's hands. They're in God's hands. So in actually just a few words in Daniel chapter 2, God can, if you please, like tick off on his fingers a succession of one kingdom after another after another. Okay, after you, O king, are that head of gold, but after you, right after your kingdom, there shall arise another kingdom. Well, that's putting it very briefly, isn't it? And then after that kingdom, a third. And then after that kingdom, yet another. And then after that kingdom, and so on. Okay, like the hymn says, ages in thy sight are like an evening gone. So 250 years is 150 years longer than the Babylonian Empire lasted. 250 years is 30 years longer than the Persian Empire lasted, which came after the Babylonian Empire. Even the world-dominating Roman Empire has come and gone. Okay, and depending on how you want to calculate it, the Roman Empire barely made it to 500. And it has been gone now for over 1,500 years. So if a nation such as our nation should reach a milestone, well, praise God that it has. Okay, it's his faithfulness and his mercy that are to thank for that. Okay, milestones are by no means guaranteed. They are granted. Right? Do you agree with me on that? They're not guaranteed. They're only granted. They are a favor bestowed by the God of heaven. And you know what the scripture says about the grace of God. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. So the book of Deuteronomy, which I have you, and I hope your Bible is still open. That was page 212 if you need to go back to it. The book of Deuteronomy is full of such admonitions. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. God has been very, very, very good to us as a people. We must not repay his goodness with disloyalty and disobedience. We owe him allegiance and gratitude. Okay, God indeed delights to do good, but the only appropriate response to his goodness is faithfulness and honor and love. So I wanted to choose an appropriate scripture for us to think about today, and really I could have picked one out of a dozen out of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy almost sounds like it could have been written for our nation. It wasn't, but it almost sounds like it could have been. It's the same God, right? It's the same God who we say is our trust. And in Deuteronomy, God is dealing with the same sorts of men and women as we are, with stubborn hearts and sinful inclinations. And well, they're having a milestone of their own. If I could put it in those words, their milestone is they're having their 0th birthday. Okay, they're not marking a mile. This is the beginning, right? This is the beginning of the nation of Israel. God is just about to give them their land. I mean, they've been a people, right? But they just didn't have a land. Okay, right up until then, they had been living in somebody else's land in Egypt, and all they had for their own was the promise of a land. So after coming out of Egypt now, and after having been 40 years in the desert, they're about to receive their own land of milk and honey from the Lord and become a proper nation, So, you know, happy birthday, Israel, I guess. God is good, and he delights to bless you, but God and men are meant to have a two-way relationship, not a one-way relationship. You follow me on that? Okay, God has brought about great things for your sake, so you owe it to him to return the favor with loyalty and appreciation. God is giving you generous blessings, so if you want to enjoy long life and many days in the land that he's giving to you, then heed his voice. Stay faithful to him. Don't forget from whose hand all of these good blessings that you enjoy, from whose hand they come. So that's how chapter 8 starts. If you go back to verse 1, Robert didn't read verse 1, but here's verse 1. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe so that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. Okay, he has brought you all this way. Here you are, my people. Look, take in and look at all that the Lord your God is about to give you, all that he has set before you to enjoy. And so that's where our reading started, verse 6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God to walk in his ways and fear him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land of brooks of water, fountains and springs that flow out of valleys and hills, wheat and barley, vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat bread without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. So when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless the Lord your God for all the good land which he has given to you. So America, bless the Lord your God. Okay, so we earnestly pray in one of our national songs that God would bless America, land that we love, right? We love it. But God and America are meant to have a two-way relationship, not a one-way relationship of blessing. Is that not right? Okay, so for his part, we ask him to bless America, stand beside her, guide her through the night with a light from above. Okay, a light from above to guide her through the night, right? Because every nation and people have night from time to time, right? Whether that's a war, a division, some natural disaster, epidemic, thing, whatever it might be. The Lord Jesus said such things must come, right? Sometimes it's night. And so we need a light from above to guide us through. And that's what the song asks for. So for his part, God bless America. Well, what about our part? Okay, well, he did his part, right? He gave us a light from above that we asked for, did he not? Okay, just like he gave light to the children of Israel, he gave a light to America. And that light from God is none other than his revealed word. Okay, Psalm says, the entrance of your words gives light. Okay, God's word gives light, right? I pledge allegiance to the Bible, God's holy word. I will make it a light to my feet. Okay, so God already provided us with the light from above. And that's what he says here in Deuteronomy 8:6. Therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways and fear him, because you are entering such a land. And in your land, you and I are going to have a two-way relationship, right? God bless the children of Israel, the children of Israel bless God. God bless America, America bless God. When you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. I give you the light from above. You walk in the light from above that I'm giving you. Okay, God shed his grace on thee. Well, as for thee, don't receive the grace of God in vain. So let's go on a little bit. Verse 11. And I think you can see, if we read some more, you'll sound that this very well could have been written for our own nation. Okay, it wasn't, but sounds like it almost could have been. Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and statutes, which I command you today. Lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them. And when your herds and flocks multiply, and your silver and gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, how he brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, how he led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, and he brought water for you out of the flinty rock, and he fed you in the wilderness with manna which your fathers didn't know, so that he might humble you and test you to do you good in the end, okay, then you would say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Oh, is that so? Is that to what we owe America's greatness? It was all human ingenuity, right? It was all man's cleverness and hard work, right? Progress, industry, invention, investment. Did you forget someone? America? Okay, in all of this plenty that you're enjoying, did you forget the Lord your God now that you've climbed up to the pinnacle of world power and prestige? No, 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 my children. Do not forget the Lord your God. So going on, verse 18. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. And then it shall be, if you by any means forget the Lord your God and follow after other gods and serve them and worship them, I testify against you this day that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroys before you, so you shall surely perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. Now, saints, if you know anything at all about your Old Testament story, you will know that God did not issue that warning in vain. Okay, the people did turn away from his commandments. They did turn away from fearing him and from walking in his ways. And as the Lord put it, they played the harlot. Okay, they did become a nation filled with lust and greed and crime and pagan practices. And you know very well that God scattered them to the four winds and he gave their land to the invaders. Now, if he followed through on his warning to people that he made a covenant with, when they broke it, we in our nation cannot expect any special exemption from his righteousness if we do wickedly. Okay, the whole earth is his. He rules over the kingdoms of men. He gives them to whomsoever he chooses. So, America, you just remember that as you live on the land that he has granted to you. Okay, so like I said, I could have chosen other passages from Deuteronomy. Now, if you want to go back a chapter to chapter 7, has more suitable words for our great nation and for the people who enjoy all of its abundance. Now, Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, therefore know that the Lord your God, he is God, a faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments, and he repays those who hate him to their face to destroy them. He will not be slack with those who hate him. He will repay them to their face. Therefore you shall keep the commandments, statutes, and judgments which I command you today to observe them, and then it shall come to pass, because you listen to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord your God will keep with you the covenant and mercy which he swore to your fathers. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. He will also bless the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your land, your grain and new wine and your oil, the increase of your cattle and the offspring of your flock in the land of which he swore to your fathers to give you. Well, I would not say that God made any such oath regarding this land. Okay, in this land, it's by God's grace rather than by his oath that we enjoy the rich temporal blessings that our country has to provide. Okay, but like I said, it's the same God, right? He's merciful and generous to those who love him and keep his commandments. So, America, love the Lord your God and keep his commandments. Because if you do, he certainly will love you and continue to bless and multiply you and prosper the work of your hands for many more years to come until we get to the 300th and the 400th and the, Lord willing, the 500th. But that's up to you, America. Okay, we're to have a two-way relationship with God, mutual blessing, right? Not just one way in which we take all of God's good blessings, but we don't return to him the gratitude and the allegiance and so on that we owe him, who is the source of all our blessing. Okay, in Deuteronomy 5, the Lord says this, "Oh, that they had such a heart in them, that they would fear me and always keep my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their children forever." It's Deuteronomy 5:29. Oh, that they had such a heart in them. Okay, well, that very well could apply to our country too, don't you think? Right? It's like the Lord Jesus said, "How I would have gathered your chicks under my wings as a mother hen does, but why? You were not willing. Why aren't you willing?" So President Lincoln, during that terrible and severe national test, hoped that the living of America would renew their devotion to, well, what he said was, to the cause of liberty, so that under God, this nation should have a new birth of freedom and not perish from the earth. Well, I say, under God are the two most important words there. It must be under God, and it cannot be otherwise. Liberty is the gift of God. Okay, freedom is the gift of God. So therefore, it's not liberty itself or freedom itself to whom Americans must rededicate themselves. It's to the God of liberty, to the God of freedom. Okay, if you want liberty, but you don't want the God who gives liberty, then you'll have neither. Okay, do you want liberty to play the harlot against God? Well, the prophet says, "Beware lest God liberate you entirely from himself." Okay, God could liberate you from his goodness. Romans says that you're either going to be free from righteousness and a slave to sin, or else you'll be free from sin and a servant to righteousness. Okay, from one of them you'll be freed, and to the other you'll be in service. So is America going to renew her devotion to the God of liberty? Right, the God who truly makes men free. You know, if the Son sets you free, you shall indeed be free. You will know, if you're a coin collector, that on some old American coins, liberty, with a capital L, is portrayed in the form of a goddess. Okay, sometimes a goddess on a throne. I'm afraid it doesn't work that way. Our nation is not going to have a so-called new birth of freedom until we consent to have that freedom under God, the one and only true God. Okay, we cannot worship liberty herself as a goddess. So a new birth of freedom comes when Americans get themselves a new heart. Right? Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would always keep my commandments, that it might go well with them and with their children forever. How many more milestone anniversaries can we expect to have if Americans refuse to fear the Lord their God and to walk in his ways, if they disdain to get themselves new hearts? And now, O America, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God and to walk in his ways and to love him and serve him with all your heart and all your soul, and to keep his commandments, which he commands you today, for your own good. That's Deuteronomy 10. How long can we expect God to shed his grace on thee, when as for thee, you withhold the honor and the power and the reverence and the allegiance due to his name? So I would say we are still testing. Okay, the test didn't end with the end of the Civil War. We are still testing whether such a nation may long endure. We are still testing whether a government of the people, by the people, and for the people will or won't perish from the earth. So help us, God. Right? Praise God for 250 years of his gracious faithfulness. May he give us 250 more or 1,000 more. But don't receive the grace of God in vain. And even if we're not anymore in the middle of a hot shooting war, there's still a war going on, isn't there? A spiritual war. It's a fearful war. Right? The prince of this age has blinded the hearts of, well, I'd say the majority of our countrymen, the hearts of our fellow citizens, so that they will not let the God of grace and liberty gather them under his wings, as he so much desires to do. Pray for your countrymen that God would indeed set them free. Oh, that they had such a heart, so that they would walk in my ways and keep my commandments always, so that it would go well with them and their children forever. Okay, America, God so loved you, God so loved America, then he gave his one and only son, then whoever believes on him should not perish from the earth. So let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let them say among the nations, the Lord Jehovah reigns indeed. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord Jehovah. And with that, let's pray. Let's pray for our country. Abba, Father, blessed be your name. Thank you for your great faithfulness. Lord, we acknowledge that everything we have, every whit, comes from your good, gracious hand. You are a God who is kind and compassionate. You delight to bless. That's what your word says. Our God will bless us. And so we bless your name, Heavenly Father. May we always remember each and every day to be thankful, not only for material things, not only for philosophical things like freedom and liberty, but for the promise of an eternal kingdom to come, for the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ who redeems us from our old nature and gives us a new one. May you be patient with our people. Be gracious. Continue to use your born-again ones to share the good news of the gospel so that our countrymen might know you better, that many more might be saved. And Lord, we know the day's coming when you are going to bring in everlasting righteousness. And so we pray that day would come in its due time. In the meantime, may we be your faithful servants, and we pledge ourselves to you to serve you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.